ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
All right, is everybody set and ready? Because if you are, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions in 5 categories. Now, our categories tonight are category number 1, rocks and stones. Rocks and stones. Category number 2, words within nightlife. That's words within nightlife. All right. Category number 3, American geography. Category number 4, quads. And category number 5, let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin. All right. Okay, 1-300-800-222. Jane from Homebush says, by the way, Phil, out of curiosity, I did a search on the Qantas app for business class fares sitting to your New York return, allowing to having to cancel today, rebook for next Monday. For 3 people, Sydney, Dallas, Fort Worth, New York, JFK, the return came to $87,000. That assumes all 3 were leaving from Sydney and using the national carrier, of course. Okay. There you go. Maybe it wasn't as outrageous as some might have suggested. Let's see. Who's going to kick us off tonight on the Mighty Challenge? Richard's in the truck. G'day, Richard.
Hello, Phil.
How you doing?
Well, I was sort of hoping I wouldn't be first, but anyway, I'm
first. Hey, you know when you're first up, Richard. A lot of people are looking at you for a start.
great,
excellent. Yeah.
Well, I don't look that good actually this time of night.
Come on, Richard. You'd brush up all right, wouldn't you? Come on.
For an old bloke, I'm 60 in a couple of weeks.
You know what? Run the comb under the basin, drag it through whatever you got left.
I don't own a comb, and I've got heaps of hair. I don't own a comb or a brush. Oh. There was a dog brush in the truck for a while, but it got in the dog. Parted company with me day before yesterday. I actually miss him. You've got to have a bit of company, but anyway.
The dog used to ride in the truck with you, did he?
Well, funnily enough, definitely yes, because I do Cairns. Melbourne.
Yeah. Gee, that's a long weekly. That's a long run. How long does that take you, Rich?
The shortest I've done is about 3 and a bit days. Yeah. But generally it takes about 5. I do multiple pickups and deliveries.
On the way. Yeah.
Yeah, but you meet some interesting characters and cheat death at every twist and turn. But sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's just... Well, like this, I'm ringing up to pass the time.
Oh, that's why we're here. That's why we're here, Richard. Tell me, what do you like here? Rocks and stones, words within nightlife, American geography, quads. Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
Well, I don't like nearly anyone, but I'm going to pick the American geography. Why not?
American geography. What mountain range makes up most of the border between Argentina and Chile?
The Andes?
Correct, yeah, the Andes. Look at that.
There was a very famous, and you're probably aware of it, remember a soccer team? Do you know that story?
Oh, the dreadful story there when they crashed, yeah. There's been a movie There was a movie made about it, released quite recently, actually, which was attempted to faithfully recreate it. It was harrowing, absolutely harrowing.
I think I read it, a book.
Yeah.
It was obviously a little house, the prairie and all those sort of ones and whatever as you got at school. But now I read that book and it was, I would never do, if the people do know the story, it involved,
let's not go into it, Richard.
Let's move on to the next one.
Question number 2, American geography. What country's capital city was built over the destroyed Aztec city of Tenochtitlan? What country's capital city was built over the destroyed Aztec city of Tenochtitlan?
It's got to be Peru?
Not Peru. No.
No?
No.
I should have got to be, didn't it?
Thanks, Richard. See you, mate.
Right, mate.
Have a good drive. Yes, the movie Society in the Snow. I think that's the one it was called. It was a very interesting movie. Attempted to recreate pretty much what happened. As you know, the aircraft crashed in the Andes and there was a soccer team going home and no one knew where they were and they were stuck there and they ran out of food. And, well, a bit like sailors in the, you know, of old, they didn't exactly, no, they didn't kill each other, but they did eat people who had passed. I know, dreadful. The dreadful. It's a horrific story, but their story of survival is quite incredible too. Anne from Caulfield. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you? Can we change the topic?
yeah. Well, let's change the topic. American geography. What country's capital city was built over the destroyed Aztec city of Tenochtitlan?
Look, I would have also said Peru, but let's say, let's try Mexico.
Correct, it is. It's Mexico. Yes, Mexico City is built on the destroyed Aztec city of Tenochtitlan. Righto, you're in Peru, you're thinking of the Incas, not the Aztecs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Question three, we're in American geography, but we can move.
Let's move to the words within nightlife.
Oh, yeah, words within nightlife. That's words within, N-I-G-H-T-L-I-F-E, all right, nightlife.
And now I'm aware that it doesn't have to be in the order. Because last time I was trying to figure out words that, anyway, that's me.
Are you all right there, Anne?
I'm not sure.
Question number three, words within nightlife. Which religious observance commemorates Jesus' journey into the desert?
Oh, would it be? I'm just thinking aloud now. Flight. Yeah, I'll just say flight.
Not flight.
I know.
Sorry.
I know it's wrong. Okay.
Thanks, Thank Anne. Bye. No, not flight. Adrian says there's also a 1976 film called Survive about it. Yes, there was. It was a common enough story, you know, in the 19th century and earlier too, or the 18th century probably, amongst sailors. And it wasn't as frowned upon as you might think in extreme circumstances. Glenn from Penrith, hello.
Yeah, Phil, how you going, mate?
Pretty good. Words within nightlife.
I'm trying to work it out.
Which religious observance commemorates Jesus' journey into the desert?
I haven't got a clue, but I'm trying to work out a word in nightlife that might fulfil that, the answer to that question. What is it? Jesus' observers or something?
Which religious observance commemorates Jesus' journey into the desert?
Yeah, it's got me beat. Flight.
No, not flight. Thanks, Glenn. See you, mate. Thank you. No, that's not correct. Jackie in Ringwood. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Question number three. Words within nightlife. Which religious observance commemorates Jesus' journey into the desert?
I think I know the answer. But just in case I crash out, could I just say something about the previous guest and the fruit?
Fruit, was it? What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say she was encouraging us all to think about finding the Australian products, which I always do. But I recently returned to pineapple juice, had a craving for it.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at the choices available and I was drawn to the Australian product. And I looked at the little bar at the back of it. It's 100% pure pineapple juice to see what percentage was Australian. Do you know what it was?
What?
Less than 1%.
Of Australian juice?
Of Australian products to make
that's no
pineapple
good.
Juice. Yeah.
That's not
anyway,
good.
I'm going to guess.
That is no good. Yeah, that's no good. No good. Yes, Jackie, go on.
I think the answer is Lent.
L-E-N-T. Correct. Lent. Yes, Lent, that period of when you fast or give up something for Lent is a commemoration of Jesus' journey into the desert. Question number four, we're in a category called Words Within Nightlife, but you can move anywhere else. Quads, let's hear it for James Scullin, Rocks and Stones, or American Geography.
This would actually be my first choice of category, so I'll stick with it, please.
Words Within Nightlife, question number four. How many vertices does a cube have, Jackie?
Oh, damn.
Now, you were just bragging to me how this was your category of choice, Jackie.
If there's something, I mean, James Scullin, the only thing I know about James Scullin is there's a suburb in Canberra named after him, so I would crash and burn in that one.
That's true.
I think, if my math is correct and my jumbling of letters, the only thing that's going to fit is going to be eight.
Correct. Very good. Yes. Eight. And these are words within nightlife. That's N-I-G-H-T-L-I-F-E, and you'd get E-I-G-H-T out of that. And that's how many vertices a cube has. Jackie, you are on fire.
I am. Tough word.
Okay. Question number five. Words within nightlife. Which word can mean a tasting selection of beers, a series of steps, or the tail of a dart?
Oh, now I think I know what the tail of a dart is, but, series of steps, tasting of beers. Oh, no. Tail of a dart.
Sorry, Jack.
When I hear this, yep, I'm going to have to tap out.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks. Good on you. Bye-bye. No. Linda in Maitland. Hello, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Yes, no, good. Good. Question number five, we're up to words within nightlife. Which word can mean a tasting selection of beers, a series of steps between floors, or the tail of a dart?
Just trying to think of, no R in it. I haven't got a clue, but a word I've worked out is faint, F-E-I-N-T.
It's a good word, Linda, but it doesn't mean a tasting selection of beers, a series of steps, or the tail of a dart. But
good,
you know what?
It's a good word.
But it's a good word anyway, yeah, exactly.
Good night.
Good night, Linda. Thank you. Ben says the team on the plane was, I think it was a rugby team, wasn't it? Yes, I think that's right. Not a soccer team. That's true, actually. Yes, I think that's right. It was a rugby team. And they were from Uruguay, weren't they? I think so. The story of survival is quite incredible. Vanessa from Cadence, hello.
Hey, Phil, how are you going?
Pretty good. We're up to question five. Words within nightlife. Which word can mean a tasting selection of beers, a series of steps, or the tail of a dart?
You know, I'm going to say a feathering.
Not a feathering. No. Oh. Sorry, Vanessa, but thank you anyway. No, not a feathering. The old Christians Club rugby team, they were the team on board the aeroplane that crashed in the Andes. Ray from Yoronga. Hi, Ray. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
Question number five, we're up to. Words within nightlife. Which word can mean a tasting selection of beers, a series of steps, or the tail of a dart?
Yeah, that one is flight.
Correct. Yes, it is flight. Flight. You have a tasting selection of beers is a flight of beers. A series of steps, a flight of stairs, yeah. Or the tail of a dart is a flight. And flight you would find in N-I-G-H-T-L-I-F-E, nightlife. How about that? All righty. Question number six.
I'll change, please, to rocks.
Rocks and Stones, question number six. The station stones the heel stone and the slaughter stone are part of which World Heritage listed site?
The slaughter. Can I just hear
the station again? Stones, the heel stone, and the slaughter stone are part of which World Heritage listed site?
Yeah, the World Heritage, but I'm only thinking of Jerusalem, or you know, but I don't know the site. No, I don't think so.
Thanks, Ray. It's
funny, Phil. The other day,
I
got the I got two questions in a row again. The same. I got the 30 tracks on the White Album, and then Happiness is a Warm Gun White Album.
You're off the White Album too.
I must be an expert.
Must be an expert in the White Album. And why not, Ray? Terrific album as it was. Okay. Thanks, mate. See ya. Bye-bye. Tim from Katoomba. Hi, Tim.
Hello,
Timber from Katoomba in the Blue Mountains. Question number 6: Words Within Nightlife.
Oh no!
We're in Rocks and Stones. Sorry, Rocks and Stones. The Station Stones, the Heel Stone, and the Slaughter Stone are part of which World Heritage listed site?
I don't know. Stonehenge, maybe.
Correct. Yes, it is. It is. It's part. They are part of Stonehenge. Question number 7.
All right.
We're in Rocks and Stones. Do you want to stay there?
What are the other ones?
Words Within Nightlife. Words Within Nightlife. American Geography. Quads. Or Let's Hear It for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
I'd never heard of that guy, so let's go with American Geography.
American Geography. Question number 7. Which Canadian province takes its name from the Latin for New Scotland?
Nova Scotia.
Correct. Nova Scotia. Correct.
All right.
Question number 8. Staying with American geography?
Why not?
The capital of which South American country was designed in the shape of an aeroplane?
Oh, wow. Shape of an aeroplane.
Yeah, Tim, we can't have other people jumping in on. I mean, yeah, that's crazy. All right, 1-300-800-222. Hello, Anna.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Anna. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. And I want to wish you and your family a happy and safe Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Anna.
And thank you for all the good entertainment throughout the year.
Oh, well, thank you. Do you know, Anna, I have done absolutely bugger all about Christmas so far.
It doesn't matter.
I got to get myself into gear, though. I think I have to.
It'll get done.
It'll get done, exactly.
Yeah.
I know. I had a text from a friend today who said they're going down to the beach for Christmas, and she said for the first time in 40 years, I don't think I'll cook a damn thing.
Oh, what a relief.
Well, it's a relief for her. I don't know what the rest of the gang that's going with.
They might all have to go fishing.
They'll sit there with their knives and forks on Christmas Day and say, yeah, what's up? Not much.
Yeah, last year we had 44 and this year we got 8.
Mm. All right. Now, Anna.
Yeah.
Question number 8 we're up to. The capital of which South American country was designed in the shape of an aeroplane?
I love South America. Aeroplane. I say in the middle somewhere.
No good.
Colombia.
Not Colombia, Anna. But thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
See ya. Bye-bye. No, not Columbia. Not Columbia. Rod's on the road. G'day, Rod.
Oh, g'day, Phil.
Question number 8. The capital of which South American country was designed in the shape of an aeroplane?
Yeah. That's a tough one. You've got to work out what's South America and what's Central America and eliminate all the Central American ones.
Capital of which South American country was designed in the shape of an aeroplane?
I'll go for the obvious one and say Argentina.
Not Argentina. Sorry, Rod.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. No, not Argentina. Where are we? Dave from Falconbridge. G'day, Dave.
Hi, Phil. How's it going?
Not bad. Yeah, pretty good. We're up to question number 8 here. American geography. The capital of which South American country was designed in the shape of an aeroplane?
I'm thinking it would have to be a city founded after aeroplanes were invented.
That's probably a fair deduction, Dave.
So, try Brazil.
Correct. Yes, it's Brazil. The capital of Brazil. The capital of Brazil is Brasilia. I mean, it's a bit like Canberra. They couldn't have Sao Paulo or Rio de Janeiro as the capital, so they made a new capital called Brasilia in the interior, and it's designed in the shape of an aeroplane. It has some remarkable architecture, actually. Brasilia.
Yeah, I remember hearing a bit about it when I was in school. It must have happened around that time in the 60s or something.
Yep. I think it was, actually. I think it was in the 60s it was built. Question number 9, American geography. One left there, otherwise you can move to words within nightlife, rocks and stones, quads. Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
Well, you're not giving me many options, so I'll stay there.
Last one in American geography. From space, which US city is the brightest place on Earth at night?
I don't know, just, I'll have a go at Los Angeles.
Not Los Angeles, no.
Nah.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
See ya. No, not LA. Trev from Surfers Paradise. Hi, Trev.
Oh, hello, Philip. Look, I think I may know the answer to this because I was talking to Rod about 3 years ago and the answer was the same. He asked what is the most densely populated island in the world, and I said, after prompting, Manhattan. That is my answer, New York, Manhattan.
Not correct, Trev, but thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, don't you hate it where you have a lead up and
you had a big lead up and the big reveal and the
big lead up. I mentioned Rod.
I know. And the big reveal and then gee, it fell flat. Everyone
and then
said
all of a sudden I let you, the whole world and myself down. Not to mention your wonderful producer, Dave.
Have a good look at yourself, Trev. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. 1-300-800. Triple two, Adrian in Boynwood. Hello, Adrian. Hello.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, yeah, no good. From space, which US city is the brightest place on Earth at night?
I'm only guessing because it's a brilliant light source would probably be maybe Las Vegas.
Correct. Yeah, Las Vegas, not Los. Lots of people say.
Oh, Las Vegas.
Everyone
Las
says,
Vegas.
Sorry, everyone says, everyone, including on the ABC, Adrian, over heavens above, they're constantly, people constantly saying Las Vegas. It's Las Vegas. Yes, that's right. Las Vegas is, I presume because it's in the middle of the desert and is full of bright lights. It's the brightest place on Earth at night. Okay, 589, we're up to question number 10. We've got no more American geography, but we do have lots of rocks and stones, a couple left in words within nightlife, and plenty of quads, or let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
Let's go rocks and stones.
Rocks and stones. Question number 10. Which Barry Humphries character was based on an elderly neighbour called Mr. Whittle?
Oh, Mr. Whittle, I should know this because I love Barry Humphries. Um, It was the Sandy Stone.
What's your answer?
Sandy Stone.
Correct. We're in a category called Rocks and Stones. The answer is Sandy Stone. Yes, he was based on on an old neighbour called Mr. Whittle.
I realised that there was a whole generation of Aussies who didn't speak in a strong, assertive voice, the popular conception, indeed, of the Australian accent, but who tended to speak in a very, very quiet, rather sibilant, almost a falsetto way of talking. There's a lovely crowd of chappies at the Louisa Hutchinson Memorial Bowling Green, and a man makes a lot of contacts that way. Not that I'll need contacts when I retire, I suppose. More friends, I suppose you'd say. Of course, Beryl and I, we used to be as keen as mustard in the old days of the tennis club before the war. Beryl was a little humdinger in the mixed doubles. She always ran up the best tennis cake, too. We'd sit there in the clubhouse after a match with our thermos and some of the different other couples and their thermi.
Yes, he was a very, very clever man. Thanks, Adrian. Question number 11. We're in Rocks and Stones. Do you want to stay there?
Yeah, stay there. That's fine.
What's the title of the jukebox musical based on the songs of Queen?
You probably got me. Hold on. I don't think. I don't know. I only knew Sandy Stone because Stones and Rocks. What if that lost me? He's gone. But anyway. Now, I'm going to give him a message.
I agree. What a loss. I agree. No good?
Yeah. No, move on. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Bye-bye. Yes, no, Barry Humphries, certainly a genius. I first encountered him, I remember, when someone had an LP record of Sandy Stone, and there was a whole monologue on one side of it about Sandy Stone, including that bit about the tennis matches, and it was hilarious. All righty. What else was on that record? Oh, the Snow Bunnies. The Snow Bunnies were there too. Warren from Geraldton. Hello, Warren.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. We're up to question 11. Rocks and Stones. What's the title of the jukebox musical based on the songs of Queen?
I was listening. I certainly have no idea, but I'm going to have a guess and say Granite.
No, not Granite. Thanks, Warren. Thanks, mate. No, not Granite. Lee's in Perth. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Phil. How you going?
Not bad. Question 11. Rocks and Stones. What's the title of the jukebox musical based on the songs of Queen?
Well, I think I know this one. It's one of Queen's songs with the word rock in it. It's We Will Rock You.
Correct.
You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you. We will rock you.
Yeah, I never thought one of their best songs, but anyway, Lee.
Yeah, Phil.
Question number 12. Rocks and Stones is where we are, but you can stay or you can move to Words Within Nightlife, Quads. Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
Let's move to Words Within Nightlife.
Words Within Nightlife. That's very funny. Jason from Port Douglas says, I remember Sandy Stone once recalling his matrimonial abode, which was sold to a Japanese supermarket developer, and where he and Beryl once slept was hence the cold meats department. Funny. All right. We're up to question number 12. Now, you wanted Words Within Nightlife?
Yes, please.
Okay. Which hard quartz was used during the Stone Age to create tools and weapons?
Can you repeat that question?
Which hard quartz was used during the Stone Age to create tools and weapons?
Maybe iron.
Not iron. Thanks, Lee. Not iron, no. Sophie from Glen Iris. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, Phil.
Question number 12. Words within nightlife. Which hard quartz was used during the Stone Age to create tools and weapons?
I'm going to go with flint.
Flint is correct. Very good. F-L-I-N-T, contained within N-I-G-H-T-L-I-F-E, nightlife. Very good. All right, question 13. One left in this category. Otherwise, you can have a choice of quads. Let's hear it for James Scullin or Rocks and Stones.
I'll stay in this category, thanks, Phil.
Last one, words within nightlife. Question 13. Butt, flap, flush, piano are all types of what?
Butt,
flap, flush, piano are all types of what?
Oh, goodness. I do not know. So I will say farewell.
Thanks, Sophie. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil.
See
bye.
You later. See you later. All righty. Michael from Kira. G'day, Michael.
G'day. How you doing?
Not bad. Question 13. Words within nightlife. Butt, flap, flush and piano are all types of what?
There's a flap on the piano that you lift up. Hinges.
What's your answer?
Hinges.
They're all types of what? Yeah, I'll give it to you. Yes, hinge. Yeah. A hinge is what we wanted. Yes, H-I-N-G-E. Hinges. There's no S in nightlife, but. Yeah. Yes, but a butt hinge, a flap hinge, a flush hinge, and a piano hinge.
Yes.
Are all different types of hinges. Hmm. Okay, well, that's it for words within nightlife. So we've got three. What's that?
thanks for that. I hate that. Go on, next one.
Oh, I got three. Well, you got three categories left. You've got to choose one. Quads, let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin, or Rocks and Stones.
Come on, let's hear it for James Scullin.
Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin. Question number 14. James Scullin was a member of which political party?
Labor.
He was. He was a member. He was a Labor Prime Minister. Yes. Question 15. James Scullin was the first member of which religion to serve as Prime Minister?
Catholic.
Correct. He was a Catholic. You sound as though you might have a bit of knowledge of this bloke, Michael.
Yeah, I know a little bit about James Scullin. You're going. Maybe I should change the subject. I've gone too good. Okay. I'll change subject. What are the other subjects?
Well, you've got quads and you've got rocks and stones.
Rocks and stones have been tough. No one's gone quads, so look, I'll go quads. Thank you.
Quads. Where in the human body are the quadriceps located?
Quadriceps are these legs.
Sorry, Michael, what's your answer?
Legs.
Yes, the quadriceps are located in your leg.
Beauty.
Question number 17. We're in quads. Athletes must hold brooms between their legs while playing quad ball, based on which fictional sport?
Jousting.
Not jousting, Michael, no. Not jousting, but thank you. Tara's in the truck. G'day, Tara.
G'day, Phil. How are you tonight?
Oh, too bad. I'm all right. Well, I know. I think constant checking is a good idea, Tara, because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that it is.
Yeah.
You never know.
Hey, question number 17. We're in quads. Athletes must hold brooms between their legs while playing quad ball, based on which fictional sport?
Oh, I'll say Quidditch.
Correct. It is. It's Quidditch.
Go, go, go!
Looks like he's going to be set.
He's got the snitch! Harry Potter receives 150 points for catching the snitch.
Gryffindor wins!
Yes, well, people got into it. I understand they even play this thing, Tara, these days. So, it just goes to show it takes all kinds, Tara.
Well, that it does, that it does. Mm. Well, I suppose it's not, they're having fun.
Exactly, exactly. All righty, what do you want to do? Quads, let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin, or Rocks and Stones?
Rocks and Stones, please.
Rocks and Stones. Question number 18. Known as Burungurra by the local Wajarri people, which large isolated rock is located approximately 1,000 kilometres north of Perth?
North of Perth. Would that be the Bungle Bungles?
Not the Bungle Bungles. Sorry, Tara, thank you. No, not the Bungle Bungles. Ian in Dover. In Tassie, that is.
Yes, in Tassie.
Well, actually, it must be. There probably are other. Are there other Dovers?
I think there's one or two. There's the famous White Cliffs in England.
No, we're not talking about there. We don't.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about the old country, Ian. No.
No, there is. Well, it is going to happen again today. We'll be on the roller coaster.
What's that?
The cricket.
Oh, yeah. No, hang on. It is today now, isn't it? It's only, there's not that many hours to go. Hey, well, I see that your upper house down there has agreed with the stadium, so the stadium's going to get built.
Oh, yes, yes.
You should collect a lot of tin food, Ian, because things could get a bit tight in Tassie.
I better learn how to collect mussels and oysters to go fishing a bit.
At least there'll be a game of footy occasionally.
People are going to have something to talk about.
Well, yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be your state if that wasn't the case, was it?
Exactly. If you haven't got an opinion, don't come down.
Shall we raise the Mount Wellington chairlift?
I've come up with there's a couple of other outstanding little mountains around the place, and just to throw a bone of contention, I've suggested a cable car up those. Sometimes it doesn't go down well.
No.
No.
No. Families have broken up and friends have parted on lesser items than the chairlift up Mount Wellington and the football stadium in Hobart. Hey, question 18. Known as Burungurra by the local Wajarri people, which large isolated rock is located approximately 1,000 kilometres north of Perth?
I don't think I'll be able to name the name. It's bigger than Ayers Rock, apparently. Mount Tom Price?
Mount Tom Price it ain't. No. No.
Good night.
Thanks, Ian. See ya. No, not Mount Tom Price. Laurie. G'day, Laurie. Hi, Laurie.
Hello. Yep.
Question 18. Known as Burungurra by the local Wajarri people, which large isolated rock is located approximately 1,000 kilometres north of Perth?
I've only been to Perth twice and I haven't been beyond it, only in the air. I was trying to think, and the only two things I can think of are both in South Australia, which is Iron Knob and Iron Barren, but... No, I don't know.
Thanks, Laurie. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Betty in Dapto. Hello, Bet.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, yeah. Now, Dave came down to see you last weekend. Good on you.
Did you see him on Fred?
On Fred, I know, exactly. There he was. He gave Fred the workout.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what. Fred vowed to do better after that. he thought, jinx, I need a few more horsepower to get Get up the stairs. Ah, dear.
And we had a nice day.
Oh, good. Oh, that's very good, Bet. That's very good. Betty, we're in a category called rocks and stones. Known as Burrungurra by the local Wajarri people, which large isolated rock is located approximately 1,000 kilometres north of Perth?
Well, I'm pretty sure this is not right, but I'm going to say the Devil's Marbles.
No, yeah, right. No, not the Devil's Marbles. No. Thanks, Bet. Good on you.
Talk to you later.
Yeah,
bye.
Talk to you later, Betty. Bye-bye. Yes, the quads muscles are, says my texter, are in the thigh. Technically, the leg is between the knee and the ankle. Is that right? What the word leg only implies the knee and, between the knee and the ankle. I hadn't heard that. I had not heard that. Brian from Butler in WA. G'day, Brian.
Hello. I think you're looking for Mount Augustus.
Known as Burrungurra by the local Wajarri people, which large isolated rock is located approximately 1,000 kilometres north of Perth? And the answer is?
Mount Augustus.
Correct, yes. Mount Augustus, which I think is it bigger than Uluru? I think it might be.
Yes.
Yeah.
More of it's underground.
That's right. Exactly. That's it. More of it is underground, yes. Kev in Port Hedland had Mount Augustus. Plenty of people from WA weighing in. Ian from Singleton, correct. Arthur in Dover, by the way, had Mount Augustus too. Rick from Augusta had Mount Meharry. No, that's the highest mountain in Western Australia, isn't it?
Yes.
But Annette from Pitt Town says, no, Dover in Tassie is the only Dover in Australia. There is a Dover Heights. That's a suburb of Sydney, but, oh, is that right? Okay. Oh, I'm surprised by that because you would have thought such a famous place as Dover in the UK there would have been a few Dovers in Australia, but there you are, there's only one. Now, Brian, question 19. We've got one left in rocks and stones. We've got four left in quads and three left in James Scullin.
Oh, stay where we are.
All right, last one in rocks and stones. Question 19. According to Marilyn Munro, which rocks don't lose their shape?
She would probably think of diamonds.
Correct.
The French are glad to die for love. They delight in fighting duels, but I prefer a man who lives and gives expensive jewels. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand.
Ah, yes. Brian?
Yes.
Question 19 we're up to. Quads, or let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
I wasn't in Australia when he was around. I was a 10-pound pom.
So what do you want to do, quads or let's hear it for James Scullin?
I'll try the quads.
Quads, question number 20. It's not known, question number 19. Question number 20. Quadrophenia was a 1973 album for which band?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Well, that's it then. Thanks, Brian.
My answer is correct.
Correct. See you, Brian. Thank you. Elizabeth says the leg comprises both the thigh and the lower leg. I'm sure that's right. Yeah, no, the leg is from the hip down, surely. Annie from Pink's Beach says Mount Augustus is the largest monolith in the world. Yeah, it is. I think that's right. There's a Dover Gardens in Adelaide. Okay, but no other Dovers. All right. Diana from Woodnelling, good on you, had diamonds. Steve in the York Peninsula. G'day, Steve.
Good evening, Phil.
Question 20, we're in quads. Quadrophenia was a 1973 album from which band?
I should know. But I don't, and I'm going to know it when I hear it. Sorry, Phil.
No worries, Steve. See you, mate, and a good night to you. Sam from Harvey. G'day, Sam.
Morning, Philip. How are you?
Pretty good. You'll be right with this one, won't you? Quadrophenia was a 1973 album from?
I'm tossing up between two. The Seekers or the Rolling Stones? I'll go the Rolling Stones.
I knew which one you were going to go for, Sam. No. Yeah, as a Rolling Stones fan, Sam, you should have known. No. Cameron from South Perth. G'day, Cameron. Question number 20. Quadrophenia was a 1973 album from which band?
Seekers.
Not the Seekers, no. Not the Seekers, no. Kim in Blackmans Bay in Tassie. G'day, Kim.
G'day, how you going?
Pretty good. Quadrophenia was a 1973 album from?
Def Leppard.
Who, sorry?
Def Leppard.
Not Def Leppard, no. Not Def Leppard. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Craig from Caloundra. Good. Yes. Elizabeth says, Marilyn Monroe was a fine actress, comedian and singer. She was. All of those things. All of those things. Hey, we have lines free if you want them. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. We're up to question 20. Charlie from Mount Druitt. G'day, Charlie.
Phil, good to be with you again and all of the listeners.
Likewise, yeah.
And I'm hoping you're still good.
Yeah, I remain that way, Charlie.
Yeah.
Quadrophenia was a 1973 album for?
Just before I answer, you've put me in a bit of a bind because I always thought the Elvis song was Viva Las Vegas.
No, it's Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, right.
Las Vegas.
And I wonder who Les Patterson was based on.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
Barnaby Joyce, maybe. No, it can't, that can't be right. He wasn't around. He wasn't around. Question number 20. Quadrophenia was a 1973 album for which band?
The Who.
The Who is correct. Yes, Quadrophenia was a 1973 album from The Who. All righty, question 21. We're in quads.
And what's it's still rocks and...
Oh, otherwise you could know. Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
Oh, stay with quads, please.
Quads. Alongside Australia and the US, which two Asian nations make up the security partnership known as the Quad?
Asian. I'll just, there's so many. The Philippines and India.
Not correct. No. Sorry, Charlie. Thank you, mate. No, not the Philippines and India. Mario from Linnea. G'day, Mario.
Good evening. Good morning.
Question 21 we're up to. We're in quads. Alongside Australia and the US, which two Asian nations make up the security partnership known as the Quad?
All right. Big guess. Japan and the Philippines.
Not Japan and the Philippines. No. Sorry, Mario. No, not. No, that's not correct. Peter in WA, in Perth. G'day, Peter.
G'day, buddy. How are you going tonight?
Good.
This morning?
Yeah, good. Good. Question 21. Alongside Australia and the US, which two Asian nations make up the security partnership known as the Quad?
Yeah, not too sure on that one. I know the Five Eyes, but not the Quad. But thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Peter. Bye-bye. Thank you. John from Bundaberg. G'day, John.
Howdy, Phil.
Howie, howdy. Question 21. Alongside Australia and the US, which two Asian nations make up the Quad?
I rang in for Quadrophenia, mate. I was hoping there was going to be a few more glitches in the gearbox. I'll go China and Japan, Phil.
Not China and Japan, no. Sorry, not China and Japan. Rocky in Perth. G'day, Rocky.
How you doing?
Not bad. Question 21. Alongside Australia and the US, which two Asian nations make up the security partnership known as the Quad?
Well, that's not the question I called up for, but I'm going to guess maybe Taiwan and South Korea.
Not correct, no. Not correct. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Yes, Jenny has the right answer. Lynn, the Queenslander, that's not correct. No. Jeff from Rockley, that's correct. There's a Dover Island in Tassie, separate to Dover in the south. It's part of the Kent Island group, located between Victoria and Tasmania. This is Violet in St Kilda. Thank you, Violet. But there are no other Dovers on their own. All righty, I tell you what, we have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. We'll take answers to those straight after the news before we get into our issues of the day. Don't forget the number 1-300-800-222.
The Mighty Challenge.
So we were stuck on, stuck a little bit on this one. The category is quads alongside Australia and the US, which two Asian nations make up the security partnership known as the Quad? Keith in Early Beach. G'day, Keith.
G'day. How's it going, mate?
Not bad. What do you reckon?
Well, I'd have a go. They've all skirted at India and Japan.
Yes, it's India and Japan, correct. Australia, the United States, India and Japan. We haven't heard so much about it recently. Maybe it's gone off the boil. Question number 22. We've got one left in quads, if you like. Or you could, the other one is let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin.
I was hoping that other bloke who knew all about it would answer all them.
I thought he would too, but he got cold feet.
Yeah. Anyway, I better stick to the old quad, I suppose.
Quads. Okay, quads. How about Ross from Scoresby? Says cricket, golf. You got anything actually entertaining, Phil? Ross. all right, the Mighty Challenge is on. Question 22.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Question 22. We're in quads. The Lobster Quadrille is a song from which classic children's book? The Lobster Quadrille is a song from which classic children's book?
No. My childhood was too long ago. I can't even remember one book.
Sorry, Keith. Thank you, mate. Anyway, Tony in New Norfolk in Tassie. G'day, Tony.
Good morning. I rang up for the Quadrophenia.
Yes. Quadrophenia, the Who. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I've known that one for a long time. Look, I've got no idea. I'm sorry.
No good. No, it's all right. That's all right. Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry, Tony. It's not called the Mighty Challenge for nothing. Al from Benalla. G'day, Al.
Tony.
No.
Sorry, Philip.
Gee, it's been a while since Tony was here. Getting on for 10 years, Al.
Yeah, I know. It was ridiculous. Sorry, I was looking for the button to get off the speaker. anyway, yes, Phil, sorry about that. I know this one, I think. I think it's Alice in Wonderland.
It is, yes. Hang on. No, just give me the name of the classic children's book. The Lobster Quadrille is a song from which classic children's book, Al. I'm very particular, as you know.
You are. I thought it was Alice in Wonderland. Is it Through the Looking Glass?
What's your answer, Al?
I'll go... what's it called? Alice in Wonderland. That's all I can say.
No, not correct, Al. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a common error. Kane in Carlton. G'day, Kane.
G'day. How are you, Phil?
Pretty good. Question 22. The Lobster Quadrille is a song from which classic children's book?
Well, I wouldn't have known, but I'm guessing it's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Correct. Yes. Yes, there's no such book as Alice in Wonderland. It's called Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I know I'm pernickety, but you know what I'm like.
Will you walk a little faster? Said a whiting to a snail. There's a porpoise close behind us, treading on my tail. See how eagerly the lobsters and the turtles all advance. They are waiting on the shingle. Will you come and join the dance? Oh, will you, won't you, won't you, will you, won't you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, won't you join the dance?
It's the lobster quadrille. Okay, Kane, we've got three left. They're all in. Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin. Question 23. Which infamous event of 1929 took place 2 days after James Scullin took office?
I'm guessing. I think it's a bit too early, but I'm going to say the commencement of World War Two.
No, not World War Two. No. Thanks, Kane. Thank you anyway. No, not correct. Gary from Tintinara in South Australia. G'day, Gary.
How are you going tonight?
Pretty well. Question 23. Which infamous event of 1929 took place 2 days after James Scullin entered office?
Was it the San Francisco earthquake?
Not the earthquake, no. Sorry, thank you. That was pretty significant, but that wasn't it. Bill from Cooperoo. G'day, Bill.
G'day, Phil.
Which infamous event of 1929 took place 2 days after James Scullin took office?
Was it the opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge?
No, it wasn't the opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. No, it wasn't. Greg in Devonport. G'day, Greg.
G'day, Phil. How you going?
Pretty good. What do you reckon?
Long time no speak.
Yeah, no. Have you been all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Keeping a low profile. I've been listening in. But,
keeping your head down sometimes, Greg's all right.
Yeah, I've been doing that, yeah. I was going to say the Harbour Bridge as well for that one.
Which infamous event of 1929 took place 2 days after James Scullin took office?
Stock market crash.
Correct.
Yes,
it was. It was the Wall Street crash. Correct. In 1929. All right, two left. Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin. He was a Catholic Labor Prime Minister.
Yep.
The ninth Prime Minister of Australia. James Scullin played which instrument?
Oh, if you had asked me first up who James Scullin was, I wouldn't have had a clue he was the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough.
But I've learned a little bit listening tonight about him. What did he play? Scullin. Geez, he could be a bagpiper. I'll say, did he play the banjo?
He didn't play the banjo, Greg. Thank you, mate. I would have liked him to have played the banjo.
Yeah, he could do something exciting.
See you, Greg. See you, Greg. Bye-bye. Yeah, I would have liked him to have played the banjo. Sian from Bondi Junction. G'day, Sian. Hi, Sian.
Hi, Phil. How you going?
Yeah, good. Question 24. James Scullin played which instrument?
I feel like I've run out of steam. I knew Labor, I knew Catholic, I even knew Wall Street.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say the violin.
Correct. It was the violin.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
It was the violin. All right. Well, you've dealt yourself into it, so here we go.
Oh, no. Pressure.
Let's hear it for Australian Prime Minister James Scullin. The electorate of Scullin is located in which state or territory?
Well, I know he was from Victoria, so I'll say Victoria.
Correct. Yes, Sean, that's very good. He was from Victoria, and the electorate of Scullin is located in Victoria. Nice work. We'll put you on hold, get some details from you, and the magnet is yours. Thanks, everyone, for playing too. A nice challenge to know. We learned all sorts of things. We learned that the leg does encompass everything from the femur down to your toes. Diana from Woodnelling had Victoria. My texter says, did James Scullin play the ukulele? I'll ask Como. No, there was no. I don't think they were that popular at the time. Paul from Plainland says, the jazz bagpipes. I wonder who was the last Australian Prime Minister more recently who does play an instrument. Does Albo? Albo doesn't play an instrument, does he? I mean, he plays the turntable, spins some records. I don't think. Oh well, that's true. Actually, I suppose the last one was Scott Morrison, who played after a fashion the ukulele. I guess. All right. Was there ever been a serious musician? Did Julia Gillard ever play anything? I don't know. I don't think John Howard or Malcolm Turnbull did. Might have to go way back. All right. Good fun, everybody.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.